Good evening, everyone. It's a Friday night, it's 8 o'clock, and that can only mean one thing. Countdown to kickoff this week. It is Wycombe Wanderers tomorrow, another team who haven't started particularly well. I'm joined by Charlie. We've got a Wycombe guest to join us, and we've got a Posh fan to join us. Charlie, it's been a bit of a weird week, hasn't it? No Posh game. Any particular comments you wanted to make to start with?
It has been. It's been a lovely week. We haven't lost, so I've been in a bubble of bliss this week. I've actually been positive this week in terms of I've known in my head that the players are on the training ground and that they're getting information into them and that the new boys are settling in. And it's been a good week for that. Obviously, we had an explosive Hard Truth episode midweek to keep things a little bit spicy, but. And the odd bit of transfer news here and there, you know, where's Chris Conkart going? Apparently he is the National League trophy this season, so we'll see what happens there. But yeah, it's been a good week, enjoyable, and yeah, on a personal note, busy getting ready to go off to university next week. So yeah, leaving home, it's been a tough one.
Well, you say tough. I'm sure that you'll enjoy those partying nights up in Sheffield, no doubt. Comments come in already. Story of the week is the Hard Truth Pod. I think you can see a thaw between the double T's. Well, great. That's one way to put it, isn't it? Yeah, I think you're right. We won't comment on this too much, I don't think, ourselves, because we'll probably discuss it when we record and release on Monday. But it was very much, it felt like all guns blazing from DMACC. And I'm not sure whether that was just fighting talk or whether that really was you need to get a shift on here, Fergie. It's a really difficult one for me. I've listened to it three times now, and it just feels like, for me, I think it feels like DMACC's lost his touch a little bit. I don't know whether you think the same, Charlie, or not.
Yeah, well, I've listened to it and got a certain vibe, and then watched it and then got like a different, even stronger vibe in terms of, I really think he means what he says. I think he's really fed up of Fergie. One of the things that I feel like Darragh's always done is presented a very united front with him and the manager. You know, there's no issues between me and the gaffer, you know, like we're as close as ever. We're calling every day. We are a united front. And this podcast episode, a lot of what he said, it felt a little bit us and them, if you know what I mean. Like, over certain issues like Brad and this lone strikers and stuff, it felt like it was Darragh as one separate entity and then the management and coaching staff as another separate entity. Feels like he's slowly distancing himself from Fergie and the coaching staff, which probably doesn't bode well for his, you know, job prospects. But we'll see. I do think... I do agree with Fergie when he says one win will change a lot. I do really think that this is a decent squad that we've put together now, a really decent squad. And I know we've got some tough fixtures coming up, but if we can win tomorrow and then win against Lincoln at home, and slowly momentum will build and the positivity will start to come back in some people, I think.
Just before we bring on the Wycombe fan, I just wanted to thank Smith's Hyundai. They are our partner for this weekend's football. They are based down in Breton Way. You've heard it before, but something slightly different this week, and I'm just going to slide screen. So they're having an event focusing on their Tucson this week. So you can save up to £3,750. And on top of this, they will contribute £2,000 towards any finance packages that you may have. Terms and conditions do apply on that, and that is running up until the 30th of September. One thing on this, actually, and on Smith's Hyundai, this is very weird and not, this is not one of those shameful plugs. I actually did see, and for somebody that doesn't like cars, that the most exciting time of the year is the 1st of March and the 1st of September when you see the new plates come in. And I actually saw a car carrier full of their Santa Fe, and they were all like pristine, fresh 75 plates. I assumed that they were being delivered over to Breton, but that was just a little bit of like a weird thing. Like, would I have noticed it before they partnered with us? I'm not entirely sure, but I did this time. Anyway, let's bring in Darragh, the Wycombe DJ. Darragh, thank you for joining us.
No, happy to be here. Thank you very much. Really interesting hearing what you're saying about Darragh, because obviously it's quite different looking in at him from the outside. I know one of my friends who's a Liverpool supporter shared a video of McAnthony the other day going, oh my God, isn't this amazing, this very free speaking and open manager. there must be a very different experience for you as actually Peterborough fans listening to him speak, and maybe you get a bit annoyed of it sometimes, or a bit sick of it, too much information almost. But I'm happy to be here, really happy to be here.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on, Dara. I'm going to go for the throat early here, because I want to start with your manager. A couple of people have dubbed this game as a bit of an El Sacico, you know, both managers probably fighting for their positions more than they'd like. I am going to go out there and say it, and I'm going to say I really do not rate Mike Dodds at all. I think he's a really poor manager, and I think, you know, you've only gone one way since he was appointed, and that's downhill. What are your views on him as someone who's, you know, watched it a lot closer than I have?
I think it's a bit interesting because you're talking about a manager who's never really had his first major shot at being a manager. And there will be issues and teething problems. I know that, as far as I'm aware, he still has the confidence of the board, of the club. I was getting frustrated with some of the play, and it was possession for possession's sake. We're up getting 55, 56, 60% possession, but doing nothing with it. But actually last weekend, we did actually go a bit longer. We looked a bit more direct, and we scored two goals in the end because of it. I think there's enough there for me to be cautiously optimistic about him. I think there's obviously a great man manager there. You know, so many players speak so, so highly rated of him. I mean, Jude Bellingham came to visit Wickham Friendly just to say hello to Mike Dodds when he was injured. That's the level of character that he is inspired from, Jude Bellingham. But what I need to see is actually that tactical ability, that ability to change games, to make changes. I'm not impressed by his substitutes. I'm not impressed by his game plans. But there is enough there that I'm not terribly disappointed yet. I think that if you look at Matt Bloomfield, it took him a year to learn his trade. And last season, by December, we were calling him one of the best managers in League One. And he got that move to Luton. Look, we can say what we want about it. It's a salty Wickham fan, but he deserved that move. He had Wickham first, second out of a lot of good teams. So I'm willing to give him time because we gave Gareth Ainsworth time and he took us to the Championship. We gave Matt Bloomfield time and he took us to first place above Birmingham. So I'm willing to give Dodds that leeway. The only difference is he's not a club legend like Matt Bloomfield was. So he's not getting as much sympathy, as much support as he would if he was a club legend like Matt Bloomfield.
There are one man I do want to ask about, and he's a bit of a thorn in our side, certainly last season, but no more. Richard Kone, how was that, obviously, with him leaving? Do you think that you're still adapting to missing that piece of the jigsaw?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got 19 goals in the league. You don't replace that easily. You've seen that yourself with Poku, with players like Clark Harris. You've seen it time and time again. Your best strikers and attackers going, so you know yourself it's not an easy proposition to replace. Kone is a major, major miss. Not only in his existence, he forced teams to mark him more seriously, and that would leave space for the wingers, leave space for anybody else. And we've brought in three new strikers. We have McNiley, who's on loan from Nottingham Forest. We have Rudrow on loan from Luton. And we have Bradley Fink, who joined us permanently from Basel in Switzerland. And at the moment, there's not really a clear indicator who's going to start. Rudrow started last Saturday, but that could also be a case of Bradley Fink's picking up from an injury that he sustained in pre-season and still isn't fully fit. So we don't know who's going to be that long-term replacement. It is difficult because also Dodds very clearly wants to use strikers in a different way than Matt Bloomfield did. And Kone suffered because of it. He stopped scoring in February because of the way that Dodds wanted his striker. He didn't want his striker almost in the box. He wanted him dropping very deep and linking play, which means as a natural goal scorer, as a poacher, you're not in the areas anymore to actually score those goals. So it is difficult, it is frustrating, it is worrying. You don't know who your nine is, but we will get there. And we do have, you know, we got Macaulay Woodrow, who can score goals at this level, scored loads of Barnes even his last in League One. Danielle McNiley, he's highly rated, young loney. And Bradley Fink played for Swiss on the 21s. He's looked promising so far, but just picked him up too many injuries to have a proper opinion on him so far.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear. I just wanted to go back to sort of, you mentioned transfers there a little bit in terms of the guys you brought in the summer and obviously Kone going out. But just generally, it feels like the ambitions that you've shown in the transfer market over the last couple of windows have been way beyond what we've seen from Wickham before. Is there like, and it feels like, you know, maybe this is a myth, but Peterborough fans, we all moan about how come Wickham can afford to pay this player this much per week and we can't afford, you know? What is the financial state of the club right now? Who is, you know, have you had a change of ownership in recent times? What has been the thing that means that you're suddenly really one of the most ambitious clubs in the league, in the market?
So it's about a year ago now, we were taken over by a billionaire, Georgian Kazakhstani banking mogul worth, I believe, something in the region of £5.4 billion. Owns the biggest bank in Kazakhstan, owns tons of stuff in Georgia and Kazakhstan. And we don't know why. He's complete opposite of Darren McAnthony. He's done no interviews. He's done no press releases. We don't know why he's bought the club, to be perfectly honest. The only thing we did get was actually a tweet around the time saying that he wants to build a world-class Kazakhstanian youth facility, and he wants to provide a pathway for Kazakhstanian players to play in England, and Wickham seems to be the facilitator for that. But he's come in and he's clearly shown no designs and not spending money. He's spent, I think, for example, Anders Hagelsjahr was 500k, Magnus Vestergaard was 800k from Viborg. And we're talking about, I think we spent something like 100k in total when we got to the championship last time around with Gareth Ainsworth. That was on like Daryl Horgan and Uche Piazza, who, come on. We've recently announced that the training grounds and youth facilities have been majorly revamped. There's a new facility being built in Slough that's going to have funding as a golf club, and it's got all this amazing stuff going on in the background. And it's interesting, though, because he's, as I said, he's not public-facing whatsoever. We've not seen him in a match. We've not seen him attend a match. He's not done any conferences, any press whatsoever. He's given the reins over to Dan Rice, and Dan Rice has been the public face of the takeover, but there's been no qualms about spending money. So it is strange for us as well, going from little old Wickham fighting, paying £300 a week for players like Alex Samuels, who took us to the championship, to possibly in the millions at this point of spending, which is bizarre, to be frank.
Barry, you mentioned there the new training ground. I assume that, do you think that the "we're going to buy the Reading training ground" thing was just a little bit of a wind up for your neighbours from the old ownership? Is that fair to say, do you think, or not?
So that was the previous ownership, Rob Kowick, who now owns Reading. He tried that. And what I think he tried to do is he tried to pick it up and cheap, because that would increase the valuation of the club and he would get to sell the club for more. So if he picked up Bearwood for 10 million, but it's a £50 million training facility, he could charge more and get more money in his pocket and go on his merry way, because he paid very little for Wickham in the first place. We were owned by the trust at that point, so he got pennies for the club, but he had to remove its debt. He had to fund us for 5 or 6 years, I think it was, which isn't cheap, of course. The EFL is incredibly expensive and only getting more and more expensive as time gets on. But I think it was just an opportunistic case and a chance to increase how much money he was going to get from any sellers in the future.
Yeah, and obviously new ownership. I think that this is probably a little bit out of Wickham's reach, but do you think that there's any chance of ground expansion or a new ground potential? I know that, like, I'm not going to sit here and preach about attendances, because Posh's aren't fantastic either. We're about 9,000 average. But do you think that that would be something that the locals of Wickham and surrounding areas would be interested in, maybe a new ground? Because it's right at the end of that industrial estate, isn't it, currently, and sort of just slap bang in the middle of nowhere.
So what was happening under Corrigan is, I've not heard about it recently, there was supposed to be another access road built to get to the motorway quicker from it. I don't think there's an appetite. The council and Wickham, at least under the previous ownership, did not really get on very well. So I don't think there's an appetite. And there's no Wickham, I'm not sure about Peterborough, but it's surrounded by green zones and green areas. You can't build. We couldn't expand, for example. outwards to either side. I think the major thing would potentially be in renovating the terrace for the home fans. It's well known among Wickham fans that actually the away end gives better acoustics to away fans than the home end does. It's better projecting that sound across the stadium, which can make it more difficult for the hardcore Wickham fans who want the chant to actually get their voices heard by the players, get their voices heard across the stadium. So I think there might be maybe small changes. There's renovations going on inside the stadium, you know, restaurants being revamped, restaurants being changed, you know, facilities inside it, better recovery equipment, you know, like hot tubs, jacuzzis, ice baths. But in terms of this stadium itself, I think apart from, you know, a fresh lick of paint to make, we did do a new ground, so a new pitch. So the pitch was ripped up and completely reinstalled this summer. So we're happy to change things, but I don't think we're looking at, what, 5,000 or 6,000, and we're in a stadium about 9,500 total capacity. I mean, we could do a Milton Keynes and build a 30,000 stadium, but we're going to fill out less than a sixth of it. So what's the point? It'll just look empty.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you mention about the acoustics of the home end, because that's something that posh fans often complain about with the London Road End terrace and how that is now in comparison to the stand up the other end. Obviously, tomorrow posh fans will be in both ends, which is a rarity, but great when it works. I just wanted to ask about, obviously, the game tomorrow, move it on more onto that. What can we expect from a Wickham side? Feels like in history, you know, you know what to expect. It's going to be long ball. It's going to be long throws. It's going to be Ryan Tafazoli scoring the third to really make you lose your head. What is it now? What is the style of play?
You're going to see it's difficult because actually we changed formation last week and we changed how we played. There was tweaks to how we played last week. So I can't tell you with 100% certainty we're going to line out like this. Previous with the, what was it, 4 losses and 2 draws, it was a 4-2-3-1, bog standard, a lot of possession, a lot of passing, a lot of nice movements, and actually a lot of missed chances. So what was changed last weekend was it went to a 5-2-3 with 3 centre-backs, but actually, I don't know if you guys remember Chris Wilder in the Premier League with Sheffield United, where 2 outside centre-backs would often go forwards as well and join the attack, guys like Egan, for example. We saw that last weekend where actually the centre-back stayed in the middle, but Jack Grimmer on the right centre-back role or Dan Harvey as a left centre-back actually would go forwards and join the attack as well, which meant you'd have a winger, a right-back and a right centre-back on the wings, making it very difficult because you're sitting there with 3 players in the overlap. You've got a midfielder there, you've got a striker there. Grimmer was playing right centre-back, not right wing-back, so we loaned in Niall Huggins from Sunderland. Looked really good. He played right wing-back, and then it was Grimmer in the right centre-back role. But again, he would join in the attack and go underneath. So if we play that again, you're looking at isolating and probably figuring out which one of your full-backs is potentially the weakest and just putting 2, 3, 4 men around him and looking to take advantage of it. You're also looking at our striker coming actually quite deep to link up play with the 2 wingers. So it was Bell and Fred Onyedema looking to cut inside and basically play in the space he evacuated. It makes it quite difficult because I don't think Mansfield players knew where they needed to be to actually defend, because there were so many different players coming from so many different directions that it was hard to understand where the ball was going to come from or who was going to bring that ball forward. So it was almost chaos ball in a way, but it worked. But where we scored our first goal last week, it was our keeper hoofed it long. Fred Onyedema got the ball and headed on. And it was a goal. It was something out of Gareth Ainsworth's book. One touch and it was a goal. So there is a decent chance you're going to see something a bit different than perhaps you've seen in the upper court, the first couple of games of Wickham, and perhaps you're actually a bit more used to playing against Wickham.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually, that he's gone for a switch up after that many games. We did the exact same thing last week. We started a new system, switched from a back 4 to a back 3 as well. What would you say is sort of the way that we can thwart that then? Because obviously, if it's chaos ball, is it just not be fooled by all the drama and just actually play the way we want to play? Or how are we going to need to adapt? Because by the sound of things, Darren Ferguson will have had to do some serious research this week.
So what's got us this season is when teams sit deep and just defend in numbers. If you have, you play, what is it, a 4-3-3 at the moment? Is that correct?
So we've actually just gone to a 3-5-2. So we've completely abandoned it, like literally last week. And I think that's going to be the formation for the foreseeable now.
So if you sit back with a bank of five and a bank of three and just frustrate us, just let us have the ball, let us have possession, don't let us have space, and then hit quick, hit on the counter. I know you have players who with some speed. If you do that, that I think is your best game plan. Do just sit back. I'd almost argue to go to a 5-4-1 and have the M4 in front of the five. Because if you do so, you're just eliminated all space for us to play into. You eliminated all room for us to run into, all room for us to get in behind. And then just sit back, frustrate us, let us have the ball. And then once we lose focus, which will happen, we're League One. We're not Pep Guardiola. We're not Jurgen Klopp. We're not Florian Wirtz. Come on. We're going to lose focus at some point. We're going to make a mistake. And you need to go and capitalise on that. That's happened to us time and time again last season, time and time again this season. And I think it is the easiest way to frustrate us because we don't have somebody like Sam Vokes anymore. We don't have somebody we can stick in the box and just cross him. Because if we had Sam Vokes, we could cross balls in the box and he's going to win one eventually and put it in the top corner. We don't have that anymore. So if you frustrate us, if you sit deep, we're going to have to just either cross and use header out and cross if you head it out. And Sam Hughes is great in that in the air. Or we're going to have to take long shots and yeah, one could go in, but very easily one might not go in either.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because everything we do these weekly, Dara, and I always feel confident before we start recording, and then I feel a little bit less confident. But one comment that I just wanted to quickly pull up was from Howard Moon saying that it sounds like we have an opportunity to do what we did to Charlton, which was we ultimately won 3-0. Against them last season have really stunted their automatic promotion hopes. And obviously, there's no automatic promotion hopes from either of our two sides this season. But it does totally sound like there's a chance to really catch Wickham on the break tomorrow. Yeah. One man that I am sure will be the envy of all Peterborough United supporters, as there was lots of fantasy about him coming to Posh. Connor Taylor, how's he been for you? How's he settled in there?
It's been interesting because we've obviously shifted from 4 to 5. He played last Saturday as that main centre-back, the one who didn't move forward. He just sat and anchored the team. He's looked solid in possession, but I think what's really impressed me is aerially, he's been fantastic. I think he's not been as potentially good as I expected him to be, but that's also because we've not had a settled back five or a back four. We've been chopping and changing, have different players in and out, and it's very hard to know your teammates and play as well as you can if you're not in a settled four or a settled five. But I think it's been very, very good so far. I do understand why you wanted to get him, though. I did. I saw, for example, Darren McAnthony. I think he said something about he would have cost $1 million. As far as I'm aware, he cost about half that for us. So I'm not quite sure what he was. I could be wrong there, but he was not £1 million. As far as I'm aware, for Wickham, he was half that. So I just wanted to mention that because I know there was a bit of stuff about Dan. He's obviously very active on Twitter. He's going, yeah, look, we're not paying $1 million for him. But I don't think, unless that's the price they got quoted and we got quoted something different.
Yeah, well, that sounds like something we've heard before. I'm sure 500 grand sounds like a fair price for a League Two centre half. Listen, drama queens will be dramatic. That's all I'll say. Let's move on to some score predictions from you, Dara, and then we'll get our resident Posh fan on. Are you confident for tomorrow? What do you think the score is going to be? And if you do think Wickham are going to score, who do you think the Wickham goal scorer will be?
No, I'm not really confident. I won't even get to watch it, actually, because I'm going to be working at Everton at the new Bramley Hill Stadium. So I'm not even going to get to watch it, unfortunately. No.
Dara, before you go on, is that a ground tick? do you think? You're going to count that as a ground tick?
Nah, I don't think so. I'm working in a steakhouse as a bar supervisor. I don't think I'm not watching it. Well, I do get to kind of watch the game on the television, but I'm not really there watching it. Do you know what I mean? I'm hoping Wickham get them in like the FA Cup or something. That'd be great for me. But I'm not confident at all. We've not been at the races. We've not looked confident. I mean, we have quality. And I think that we have better quality than Peterborough. And I don't mean that in a harsh way. I just think that you've replaced Kwame Poku with Chris Conclark, which I don't think was a like-for-like replacement, for example. But that's off the top of my head. I think I would go for Wickham 1-0, but I would not be surprised to see it go Poshwood way. I could easily see a 1-0 win, but I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game. I think it'll be one goal either way or a 0-0 either way. I'm going to go for Bell for the score. He looked phenomenal at left wing for us last weekend. So if he carries that form in again, I could see him scoring again.
Yeah, I mean, seeing Chris Conclark running down that right channel is going to be terrifying for you. He's so done at Posh. He's getting loaned out to the National League, and we've completely changed the system as a result of not being able to replace players like Poku. But I don't know. I think you'll be surprised at the level of quality we have. We've actually put together a pretty decent squad, but it'll be a good game, I'm sure.
Have we?
I'd say so. It'll be a good game.
Well, they're yet to prove it. There is the thing, but I think that the optimist is saying that tomorrow is going to be the game where they do prove it. So fingers crossed. But thank you again for joining us tonight. Thank you for the insight into Wickham. I hope that you have a good Saturday at Everton, but a terrible Saturday supporting Wickham, if I'm being completely honest. But like I say, thank you for joining us, and thank you for all of your insight.
No, of course, happy to be here, and I hope. No, I don't hope you win. Good luck tomorrow, but no, I hope you don't hope you win. But no, seriously, have a good Saturday. I hope you enjoy the match, and I hope you have a good season. I don't want to see either of us go down, let's be real.
It's looking likely at the moment. Thank you very much.
Of course, thank you.
See, what I didn't tell Dara is that I'd love to see Wickham go down after the points per game incident. I'd delight in it.
And there's a lot of Posh fans that would love to see.
We dancing on their grave. He was a nice guy, so maybe I'll feel slightly more sympathetic towards Wickham if they get relegated now.
Right, before we move into Posh Fran, I'm going to play an ad from Smith's Hyundai. 2 seconds.
In Peterborough, match day starts long before kickoff, and whether you're heading to the pub, the ground, or just tuning into the podcast, Hyundai gets you there in comfort, style, and with room for your mates. Visit Smith's Hyundai, your local Hyundai experts and proud supporters of Up the Poshcast.
Good evening, Keelan. How are you?
Yeah, well, good, but there is a Posh match tomorrow, so maybe not so good in a little bit.
but tonight you're going to bring the positivity, right? I'm feeling positive. I feel more positive after speaking to Dara that Wickham are going to leave us some holes at the back, and I think that our two new strikers are going to score some goals for us. You mentioned before we came live that you were at the game last weekend. Have you got any reflections on that, thoughts on that you want to share?
Yeah, I think obviously going into it, it was a really dour mood, but yeah, I thought like last season we went to Huddersfield, we got that 1-0 win, and it felt like it was going to change a bit, and we went 1-0 up, and I thought it was going to repeat itself, and then obviously it came undone. But I think there was a lot to take away from the game still that was positive. I thought a lot of the new signings in particular looked really, you know, confident, but also they didn't look too rusty. They looked like they were, you know, a part of a squad and a part of a team, really. I thought O'Connor in particular in the first half looked excellent when he was playing out from the back. Someone like Matt Garbutt, I thought looked good as well. And then you had like Lisby and Lolos came on, and I thought they looked positive. So yeah, I think it's just all about taking the positives from that, going back home, and then we just need to get a win, just no matter what, really. But yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and after last week, can you feel the winds of change coming? Do you think we're on the cusp of something great, as Dara McAntony and Fergie seem to think, or are you a bit more reserved in your optimism?
I think what the issue is, I think, yeah, we played well, and then there was a lack of real chances still being created. I thought Jimmy J Morgan looked good when he got on the ball. I thought, considering when he joined on loan, I saw quite a few people say he was a bit lightweight, and I thought he was actually quite good, and he wasn't really shirking a battle with a Huddersfield shirt. I just think there needs to be more chances created, because obviously we scored our two goals, but one was a bit of a lucky flick from a free kick, and the other was right at the end, and then we still looked very susceptible at the back. There was obviously the Joe Taylor miss, which was, I don't know how he missed it, and there was just so much, you know, maybe some calamitous play still at the back, and it was just, yeah, it's just trying to find, I don't know. And then when you're at home as well, I think what helps away at Huddersfield is we were playing out from the back and there wasn't a lot of fans on their back. I feel like at home, when we're quite slow out from the back, fans can get on them. So I think tomorrow it needs to be a bit more patience. And then hopefully, I was more encouraged when Dara was saying that we could maybe find holes in the way they play. And if we've done our research, yeah, it'd be interesting, because obviously Keane Hayes from off the bench is a great weapon. But if Wickham suffer with pace, you maybe want to start him, and there's a lot in the air, really, so it'd be interesting.
Yeah, and obviously the man who will be making those decisions is Darren Ferguson. Where do you stand on him? I know there is a lot of discussion about his position, and, you know, is he in serious danger if we lose tomorrow? First of all, do you think he is at risk if we lose? And second of all, no matter what you think, do you think he should be at risk if we lose?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I think the argument always is maybe lost the dressing room, and you watch the Huddersfield performance and it's very clear that's not the case. But you can't, I think it was interesting after the game where he was saying, I've got three promotions from the league, and sort of having the credit in that bank, and it came across as slightly arrogant. And I do think there needs to be a realistic look at it. If we lose to Wickham, the point gap is just, it begins to look really bad. We're on 1 point, Wickham would be on 8, and then you've got Plymouth, and if that goes bad, I know I'm being a bit of a doomsdayer here, but I think if you weren't to beat Wickham, I think there might have to be a decision made. Personally, I think Fergie has credit in the bank where he should be given time to sort things out, but I think he's one of those managers that when he's stuck in a rut, he finds it very hard to get out of it. So maybe for his sake, yeah, maybe it's time for something fresh if we lost tomorrow. But I'm really hoping we get a win. I'm really hoping so.
Yeah. Do you know what? So there's a few comments just coming in and questions coming in. So I'll probably pose them to you, Keelan. First one from Lods. If you had the opportunity to swap squads with Wickham, would you?
I agree. It might be too optimistic, but I do agree with Charlie that when you were watching the Huddersfield game, there's a lot of talent in that squad. Like, it's a lot of new players blending in with each other. But someone like Matt Garbutt, you look at him and go, if he was confident and surrounded by maybe some better quality players, he's a League One level footballer. And there's people like, you know, Kyoso, and yeah, there is quality. And I think Wickham maybe have the edge. They have players like Cooley Woodrow, Fred Onyedinma, and they've got George Abbott that was really good on loan last season at Notts County. They do have a more exciting squad than they used to have, but I think I would generally think I'd stick with our squad. And I know that sounds mental considering we're 1 point, but I don't know. They're just, yeah, I'd stick with our squad, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that's mental at all, by the way, Keelan. It's really not that difficult of a question for me to answer, because I think what also you have to think about with a squad like Wickham's is there is no resale value in that squad at all. Very little anyway. Like, what kind of money are they going to get for Fred Onyedinma if they try and get rid of him now? You know, even if he has a great season, they're just not going to get. And, you know, to be financially sustainable at this level, unless you do have, you know, some 5.5 billion Kazakhstan owner, you know, you do need to be able to sell players for decent money. And you look at, you know, their young players, Wickham, and their best young players, and they're all on loan. Like, they're all from the Premier League, loan at the club. Yeah, I don't think it's that. And also, it's not as if Wickham have been great. Like, they're one win ahead of us, like, after seven games. That's not crazy impressive. It's not as if they're this big titan that are coming to play us. Yes, they spent some money, but I actually think if you went position by position, which I might actually do after this and create a little combined 11, I actually don't think as many Wigan players walk into our starting lineup as people might think.
Well, I'm going to just keep it short and sweet because you two have pretty much said everything that I wanted to, and say no, I wouldn't take Wickham's squad because, I just can't get convinced by a team that I've or players that I've never watched. Even Connor Taylor, I said, like, how can I get excited about signing him? He got relegated last season. Like that, how can that thrill me? How can that excite me? Like, I guess this links on well. Ed's asked, who was your favourite posh new signing from the summer transfer window, Keelan? If you have any, they're all crap.
Would that just be in general or the whole host of signings we made late on? Because I can, if it's a whole
all
host...
Let's go all the way back from June the 1st when we announced someone. I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
It's a struggle to work out who we've signed and who we've not signed at this point. But I think, I think it was quite a left field one, but I am really impressed by someone like Matt Garbutt, and then obviously Kyoso is just one of those signings that I think maybe naively got us all excited, and then obviously one signing doesn't fix everything. But I think getting Kyoso back's a really good signing as well. But as well as O'Connor, I thought had a standout debut against Huddersfield. Strange to say because we conceded three, but he just looked very composed on the ball next to George Neffert and Tom Lees.
Yeah, do you know what? I was doing some rewind suffering. So I went back to watch the Wrexham semi-final and I noticed that, obviously, Mendy played in that game as well. And there was a little crossover between him and Harley Mills when Harley Mills had taken his penalty and Mendy was going to take his. And they exchanged words. I'm not entirely sure what it said, but I think that I'm going to go with Mendy. Even though Howard Moon says that he was a little bit ropey last week, purely because I think that we discussed last season with James Dornelli that he needed time out of the team to sort of just get his feet back on the ground type thing. His performances weren't the strongest. I think that with Harley Mills, that may be where we're needed at the moment. And actually, I'd like to see Harley Mills on the bench tomorrow. He wasn't obviously on the bench last week, but I think that in front of the posh fans, he can have a really good impact for, let's say, 30 to 35 minutes. So I think I'm going to go with Mendy as my signing just to give that respite for Mills, because I don't think that we're going to see Adebisi anytime soon. And even D-Max said on his pod this week, didn't he? It just keeps on getting later and later and later. When are we going to see him? I still am convinced that we're not ever going to see him again in a posh shirt.
Yeah, I can't give it to Mendy purely because of that, you know, mistake and getting absolutely done on his debut. Like, I reckon he probably will be a very good player for us. But not for me. I think I got the signing that excited me most, well, other than Kyoso maybe, was Harry Leonard. I just think the whole sort of the fact that it was a bit of a saga and it led on into the final days of the window and there was reporting and the deal was on and then the Blackburn chairman called it off and it was on and off and on and off. Just that made it really exciting. And the fact that we spent that much money on one player, you know, a supposedly seven-figure transfer fee for our new main striker is just, it's all music to my ears as somebody who is really excited by top quality young players. And that sort of does lead on to another good question that was put into the comments about the strike partnership for tomorrow. Keelan, are you going with the same two that played last week, Leonard and Morgan, or are you giving a surprise vote of confidence to Gustav Lindgren?
Lindgren, if he meant it or not, his assist helped us slightly at the end against Huddersfield. I think he was trying to head it in, but I do think... Yeah, I think you would start with Leonard and Morgan. I did think they maybe didn't get the service that they, you know, they would have got more out of them against Huddersfield. I do think they looked bright. They were on the ball. I thought Leonard especially had some neat bits of play when he came in, tried to play players through, and Morgan looked lively. And I think, yeah, it would make sense to start both of them again, because I don't think in a nail-biting game, a must-win and you got Gilt-edged chances, you're not really wanting Lindgren to, you know, rely on him. And if needs be, you bring him on and maybe he can be the difference maker somehow. But I do think, yeah, realistically, it'll probably be Leonard and Morgan again if he goes for that front two, which I assume he will.
Keelan, what do you want to see from Posh tomorrow? Let's just go really basic. Like, what do you want to see from Posh? This is ultimately, I think that we've discussed this. This is a must-win game tomorrow. What do you want to see? What do you think that gets Posh over the line compared to previous performances where we haven't managed it this season?
Yeah, I feel there just needs to be a slightly more, you know, attacking impetus, I think, especially when you're at home. Obviously, it worked nicely against Huddersfield playing out from the back, but I do think there needs to be a bit more from the likes of, you know, Kyoso and Mendy. I thought, agreed with the comment slightly, that Mendy did look a bit ropey on his debut. I didn't think he looked that comfortable when he went forward, but, you know, at home, obviously the Wickham fans said that they struggle when teams are expansive and quick. I think you just have to go at it, really, and not be too afraid to, you know, go to attacking. Because I think if we were to, you know, be nervy and try and ride out a 1-0 win, or, you know, I think we're just going to have to go for it. It'd be interesting to see how Fergie sets us up tactically, because he'll obviously feel the pressure of it. But I think we just have to give our all, really, and not be too passive, because I think sometimes we can give too much respect to an opposition. Obviously, we've had the likes of Luton at home that were in the Premier League not too long ago, so that's maybe a bit more understandable. Wickham as well, they're usually quite tasty games between us and Wickham. There's a bit of a rivalry just from, like, we've been competing in similar positions with them in the past, obviously, the points per game thing. So you'd hope the squad would be up for it, because, you know, they're going to have to be, really, so...
Yeah, this comment is the kind of one that I would normally ignore, because we don't like this type of negativity in the countdown to kickoffs. But I have looked back at the form guide and it is really, really, really weak. I think that Wembley was pretty much the only time that we've beaten Wickham in the last 6 years, like Not So Posh says. And I think that it's time to sort of turn that around. Whether we do or not, I think that tomorrow we need a fast start. Like, we can't have any of this, let's score in the second half and take it to 1-0 like we had at Huddersfield last week. We certainly can't go a goal down. Obviously, it's a grassroots day tomorrow, so there's going to be more people than there normally would, I think. It's probably a fair comment to say. We may see a five-figure attendance, which, you know, obviously Luton brought quite a few, Bradford bought quite a few, but I think that was only 9. And I think that if we don't get that early goal, then you're going to start to hear the murmuring around. Wickham aren't going to bring hundreds. There's probably only going to be a couple of hundred of them. And I don't want to say it's going to get toxic, but going in at 1-0 down at half-time, let's say, or even 2-0 down, I think that's disastrous. Keelan, are you going to be at the game tomorrow, or are you watching from home?
No, I'm unfortunately working, so I'll be keeping tabs over Twitter and everything. My dad will be there, and he gives me a commentary over WhatsApp. So I'll be able to gauge how the game's going by how frustrated his messages are. So.
Lucky you, then, potentially. Or unlucky you when we win 4-0. Keelan, that brings us on nicely to your score prediction. You know the rules. If you're going to predict and you think that Posh are going to score, can you tell us the first goal scorer as well?
It's an interesting one, because, you know, with the form against Wickham and everything, and they've just back off a win against Mansfield, I'm gonna go 2-1 Posh. I'm gonna predict a win, and we'll go Harry Leonard to get the first one, get his debut goal.
Lovely. I can see that. It's a hell of an assist last week, wasn't it, for Jimmy J. Morgan's goal? Like, just sort of hit it on target and hope for the best. But yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? It's obviously, like Charlie said, it's an expensive signing, isn't it? And you don't want to be... And I think that maybe Gustav probably struggled with that a little bit, in that everybody knows that we paid a lot of money for him and he's got that weight on his shoulders. I think that Harry Leonard's probably slightly different and is probably more willing to accept that pressure. Obviously, he's come from a big championship club, hasn't he? So although they likewise aren't getting hundreds of thousands of people through their gate. He's still got the weight of essentially a town on his shoulders when he was there, didn't he? And they were all gutted that he left, which is only a positive for us, I guess. But Keelan, like I say, thank you for joining us tonight. I hope that you have a great shift at work and your dad gives you lots of positive messages.
But no worries, guys.
The closer we get to finishing this, the more nervous I get about tomorrow. I already tweeted earlier this morning saying that I was nervous, and I think I'm going to be a quivering mess by the time that 3 o'clock comes around.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Thanks for having me on and up the Poshcast.
Oh, cheers, Keelan. Love it. Hang
on. That was without a prompt as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we usually have to get a guest.
This is a man after my own heart. Thanks, Keelan.
No worries, guys.
Right, Chaz. Where should we start? Should we do our predictions?
Yeah, obviously, I think our predictions.
Next Level Barbell Club Predictions League. I've put the link at the bottom there for anybody that hasn't got it. You've got until 1 o'clock tomorrow to put your prediction in. I'm going to go with mine first. Can I remember what I predicted? Did I say 4-2 Wickham or 4-3? No, Posh win. Posh to win 4-2 or 4-3. Chaz, pull the graphic up. Help a guy.
I think you went 4-2. Is my instinct. You went 4-2 with a Keller goal.
Yeah. I think it's going to be first goals for Posh, goals galore type thing tomorrow. And we're going to see Leonard. We're going to see a centre-back score. Maybe even like someone like Tom O'Connor will score. Maybe a whip one in from the corners, depending on what goalkeeper they've got. And we know that their goalkeepers like to let balls in at the back post, don't we? So, yeah, 4-3 or 4-2, whatever comes up on the graphic. Brandon Keller to score. He's going to hit the Jude Bellingham in front of the GH display stand tomorrow. I am confident of that. Let's get the graphic up, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. Because I actually do remember my own score prediction. So I went, 2-1 Jimmy J Morgan, because I just thought, listen, if he can do that with his bum last week, imagine what he's going to do when he gets the ball to his feet a little bit more in this game, you know? I see him scoring an absolute worldie, like outside of the box, a little bit of finesse. I mean, this is a guy that on Darren's podcast, he said, this is a guy that's on over 20 grand a week. Like, that is a mad footballer to be playing for Peterborough United. Like, when you actually, like, think about it, that is a bit crazy. And so I have to say, I'm feeling confident. I really think it'll be 2-1 us, but I think their goal will be terrible. Like, it'll be some scrappy goal when they pull one back later on. And I think that our goals will be very good, and I think it'll be a good performance, and we'll be quite wasteful in front of goal, is my opinion. The tides are turning, and I'll be enjoying it while bouncing up and down alongside you and many others in that blue section in the GH, which is probably a good thing to have a little chat about.
I'm just going to pull the graphic up again quickly and just do a speed run through the rest of the host predictions for those that will be listening to this, hopefully on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So Dell has actually strayed away utter woke nonsense from his 2-2 prediction that he's done every single week and gone for a 4-2 Posh win with Jimmy J Morgan to score first. Harry, confident as well. 3-1 Posh, Harry Leonard to score first. I'm going to miss one line out and do that at the end. Lods, 3-0. Posh to keep a clean sheet. Jimmy J Morgan again. And then Max with 2-1, Harry Leonard. And then, that one in the middle, John, there's no optimism in that man, is there? He's got Posh to lose 2-0. Like, the guy is just negative. Like, yeah. John, give me anything, something. Like, I don't know whether he's going after prediction league points just to be different from everybody else so he can fly up the rankings just in case Posh lose. But,
I think he's just bored while he's waiting to steal Christmas. Like, he's clearly got something going on. No hope in that guy. I can't wait. One of my favourite things is when John is so negative and then we start playing well and we know full well that everything he said at the time was completely accurate and he was completely right and the players are quite bad. But when they just make it click for a moment and we get to shush him on an episode, you know, Abraham Addo's hat-trick at Crawley last season still lives long in the memory. John is always going to be the negative one, but that's okay. I don't think he is doing it for the clicks as much as he'll be accused of doing it for. I think he just genuinely just lacks a bit of hope in his life.
That's a crazy accusation. He would, if John was here, he would say that he's just being realistic and that we've had nothing to see that we're going to score loads of goals this week, which Howard Thomas has predicted, or put a message in, sorry. We're all predicting goals. Where are the assists coming from? That three in midfield, Keller, Collins and Garbutt are going to hit form tomorrow. They're going to be rotating around. They're going to be all over the shop. I think, Charlie, you mentioned it earlier. Obviously, there was, let me just go back because there was a comment about it. Ben is in E4 tomorrow. We are in E3. You hinted at it earlier, didn't you? What are you hoping for, Chaz, from the blue section tomorrow? Like you said, I will be there front row. I've actually, if you can just hold the fort, I've actually got something that I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to bring into the ground tomorrow.
I'll hold the fort while I...
Yeah, Phil for 30 seconds.
Oh, God. Phil, and I guess in turn... No, I think that I'm really excited to see what happens. I think, first of all, we've got the big drum, which will make the atmosphere good. I think that these young guys who are doing this project, the blue section, are really nice and really seem to be passionate about what they're doing. And they've got a little bit of stick for it in the early weeks. And I hate to see it, but it's always going to happen. But I actually do really think they've worked hard. They've got a little something in store, which they'll be displaying at a kickoff, which they've made themselves through pure, hard work on their part. I think it's going to be really good, and they'll be really good for the atmosphere. And I will be in E3. And wherever you are in the GH, please join in with them. They'll be down at the front, which will be nice. So you'll be able to see the drum. You'll be able to see the atmosphere. And hopefully it will come backwards rather than, being all cooped up in two to a seat at the back row. I think it'll be really good. And I think if it's a win, it'll be one of the better atmospheres we've experienced in London Road in recent times.
Yes, you're right, Chaz. Look, I'm ready to... I'm hoping, I've asked very nicely if I could bring it into the ground. But you're not... Look, you might not be able to
see it. Oh, my Christ.
I've got a megaphone. I am going to be stood there with my megaphone in hand, chanting like there's no tomorrow. So I've got to find out if I'm allowed to bring it in first.
There is absolutely...
Because... I love Turkey. I love Turkish football. I am going to be that guy that just does not watch the football at all tomorrow. I'm just going to be looking towards the back of the ground, chanting like there's no tomorrow, and just having a good time. I feel positive now. I didn't feel positive about 5 minutes ago, but now I do feel positive. There's going to be a great atmosphere. Somebody said, Frankie Winks said, will there be an atmosphere in London Road? Is there ever an atmosphere in London Road? The blue section are doing their best to try and put one in at the front, but it needs everybody in that London Road end to help them get on. One man that is a London Road expert and a special guest tonight, I'm going to bring him in, is Scotty. God. Scotty, how are you?
You're so rude, Charlie.
How's this happened then? We already had Keelan on. He was meant to be the posh fan.
I thought that was Josh Butler for a second.
I saw a couple of comments like that in the comment section. I don't see it personally, but Josh Butler's like got quite short hair, doesn't he? It's not sort of like the cool surfer dude waves that Keelan has.
So Scott, you are just openly admitting now that you are James and that you are Fingers.
yeah.
You've just completely baited yourself out there. So whenever I know that I'm getting abused in YouTube comments, at least I know that it's you. I knew it anyway.
Yeah. You knew it was James. I was James anyway.
Yeah, I did know that. Scotty, talk to me. Do you know what? One question that I wanted to ask you about, because I've seen a few of your comments this week, and Noah asked it earlier on. If Fergie does go, who do we bring in?
Do you know what? There's two that I would like, whether we can afford it. It's Ian Nevitt, the old Bolton man. He's a free agent still, isn't he, I believe? Is he a free agent?
Yeah, he's not got a job since he left Bolton.
I think he'd do well. I'm a big the old QPR boss. Is it, what's his name? Critchley, is it?
Neil Critchley,
yeah.
Blackpool, yeah.
Yeah, the one that went to Blackpool. No, he's terrible, Scotty.
They're my two.
Awful shout. I don't mind Ian Evatt, but I'm sure that I heard somewhere that he still has shares in Bolton, potentially, which is why he's not. Where did I hear that? Where have I made that up, Chaz? Help me out here.
Yeah, I don't know. But I you know what is interesting is Critchley is notoriously has Fergie's number. But I remember Dara saying that like he makes jokes with Fergie whenever we're playing against a Critchley team, that he should just go and sit up in the stand because Critchley, you know, knows how to beat a Darren Ferguson team. So how do you improve a Darren Ferguson team? Well, maybe you bring in, you know, the antidote to a Darren Ferguson team. Maybe that would be an interesting one. I mean, I don't think either of those managers would be my first choice. I'm all aboard the Steve Evans train if that happens. I think he would absolutely love this squad. Like this would be, he would absolutely adore players. Imagine Steve Evans got his hands on a player like Matt Garbutt. He would turn into I don't know, but he'd be a different animal in a Steve Evans team. You know, he'd like Sam Hughes. He'd like the goalkeeper. He'd like the really athletic and strong wing backs in Kyoso and Mendy. I think
was there a relationship issue last time with him and DMAT? Because I think Evans is more, likes a bit more power than what I think Ferguson has. Is that right in saying?
Well, I don't know, because Evans, is apparently, he's been on the podcast, hasn't he, with Dara, or he is going on the podcast at some point. So I think they're close friends. Like they do seem to have a good relationship. And yeah, he's a big character, Steve Evans, but maybe that's what this changing room needs.
I think, and I don't want to spread lies, but I think that actually it was Jason and Randy that weren't massive fans of Steve Evans and the way that he sort of behaved. And that we get a gold award for being a family club of the year last year. I don't think that you win those awards with Steve Evans as your manager, but it's a results based business, isn't it? And we have not got the results in, and there's one man Steve Evans has been on the TV this week because he's lost a load of weight, and that is fantastic for him. But the one thing that really stood out to me is that he made multiple comments about the fact that he's in Peterborough. He goes to the gym in Peterborough. He goes to Bannatyne's. He walks his dogs in Peterborough. All of that sort of stuff. We know that he's been to watch Posh games recently because people have seen him at the ground. It's all just starting to look like it's falling in his favour, if that makes sense. And I put a tweet out earlier about Fergie saying that I don't want Ferguson to be sacked, but if he can't get the results, then what's the solution type thing? So, yeah, I think that Evans would be my choice, but he would only be my choice until the end of the season so that he could get us safe and then this squad can develop, because that's what they need, don't they? They don't need constant rotation. We don't want to be getting to next summer and Steve Evans doing what Steve Evans does and selling 20 players and bringing 20 in. The ones that we've got on long-term contracts are going to be good players. They just need the time to develop.
It's just his post-match interviews that just does my head in, like blaming the penalties. Like, it's just some of his comments he's made after games when losing matches. It just does my head in. I just can't cope with it.
Yeah, but isn't that what you get when you know that's what you're going to get from Steve Evans, isn't it? So you just sort of have to accept it. Do you not think? McBosh says that he's a football Neanderthal.
If we've got such a young squad trying to progress together, maybe like we did with Ferguson, a new young manager coming through, like we did with Fergie all them years ago.
Do you not think that the problem is with that, though, that it hasn't worked? I think back to Mark Cooper, it didn't really work with him, did it? McCann, it hasn't worked. Obviously, McCann's gone on to do good things at Doncaster, and that actually maybe Fergie, certainly in the DMAC era, was the one that just sort of fit. Like there's been lots of comments about, well, there's nobody else that can work with DMAC. Fergie just sort of gets on with it and knows where he stands with him. Do you think that's the case? Do you think, like, I also actually look at it and go, if you were a young coach now that was, let's say, 35 to sort of 38, would you want to come and work at Posh? Like, you know that you're going to a lot of these people, they like the projects, but Posh isn't a project. The players are the project. And you know that you're going to have them taken off of you within sort of, what, 18 to 24 months?
Yeah, I do agree. But I don't know. I just like, I like the young gun with the young, fresh ideas than something that's been done. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I still don't think if we lose to Ronald Ferguson, we'll be sacked. I don't think that'd be the case.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're looking for a young manager but who's got a little bit of League One experience, Des Buckingham's my pick. Got Oxford promoted.
Yeah, I agree.
Recently out of work. Younger manager. Wouldn't be a bad shout. But I think we've jumped the gun massively here in terms of, like, let's you know, give Fergie, let's get that corner flag tweet out first before we start naming replacements.
Being Wayne Rooney or Steven Gerrard.
Oh, I couldn't think of anything worse.
Ash, really? I'm surprised you're going in the GH tomorrow. I'm very surprised.
I'm here for the vibes. It's not my exact cup of tea, but if I want to help people
I always thought
promote
you were
themselves, look, I'm going to I may have slightly bent the truth there. There will not be any singing from me tomorrow. You might get a clap or two out of me. And maybe some limbs if we score a late winner. But yeah, I think it's important to show support to groups that want to try and improve the atmosphere. Like I've always said to me that the atmosphere isn't important to me, but there's always that, like, these lads are trying to, like Charlie said, these lads are trying to do the right thing. They're not like these ultras. They don't want to do that. They literally just want a good atmosphere at the Posh ground. They want good atmospheres away from home, and they've gone about it the right way. They spoke with me, they speak with the club, they're speaking to the people that are around them in the London Road end. They've done their best to try and promote people going into the GH, into E3 specifically. So you have to sort of give them their plaudits, and I hope that they have a successful day tomorrow, even if the football isn't as successful on the pitch. But like I said, enough of that negativity. Posh are winning tomorrow. Scotty, we're going to wrap up in literally 60 seconds now. What's your score prediction for tomorrow?
I think it's going to be 3-1.
First goal scorer?
George Neffitt.
What, from a corner, Scotty, or header. Is he going to go on a marauding run? And
I think someone's going to push him over because he's got no strength and he's just going to header the ball in the net where he's been pushed by his own player, or he's tripped on someone's foot.
It's one of the weirder ones I've heard. Do you know what,
Scotty? That's a prediction that
I could have only got
from you. Go on, say that, Scotty, didn't you?
And I'm not going to be there.
No.
You're not there tomorrow?
No, I've got bigger things. It's the Blast Finals Day at Edgbaston. It's the big one.
Yeah. I'm a hundred fan, me, Scotty.
No, we'll have a conversation on another day about that. But I do agree with
Chaz.
The GH is very good. Like the two Cambridge games, for example, are probably the best two atmospheres I've seen in London Road in a long time. Them two Cambridge matches were just amazing, especially last year. Like that was just rocking, weren't it? Especially at full time, Jazz, weren't it?
Yeah. Desco, I like it. Oh, that's gonna make a comeback tomorrow. Actually, I'm gonna send them a message, the Blue Division now, and get them to change that flipping Desco because we need to change it.
Can we at least do it GH? Like, can we give the sponsors?
Can we Posh at home or something? That will work. Posh at home. Yeah. See, there you go.
But if Fergie does go, Tomer is a free agent, remember? And he's got 100% record at London Road.
Christ.
I don't need that brain right in my time, in my life, no. Scotty. Thank you for joining us, Scotty. I'm going to take you off now so that me and Chaz can wrap up. Thank you again. Enjoy.
Bye.
Countdown to cricket, as Howard Moon says. He's gone. Didn't even have to remove him. What a guy.
Yeah.
Right, Chaz, let's get out of here. Positive for tomorrow?
I am, and more positive that I'm not going to see Scotty as well, so that's always a good thing. Obviously joking, Scotty. I'll see you soon, I'm sure. I'm
up the podcast.
Looking forward to it. Up the podcast.
Come on, let's get out of it. Up the podcast.
Yeah, please.